It is almost ironical, and yet it's true, I guess. Perhaps the most outstanding and recognized theologian on the book of Thessalonians I have in my hand, and of it, it says that he earned his A.B. in history, his M.T.H. and his Ph.D. in religious education, and Greek, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. That's in Dallas. And he is widely recognized as a leading scholar in the field of biblical exegesis. In his work on Thessalonians, in the 12th verse of chapter 1, he concludes this particular portion by saying, verse 12, "It is not certain whether the genitive construction of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." That's in that verse, right? Now listen to this. "It is not certain whether the genitive construction of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ refers to one person or two persons." Before I read any further, what do you think he's going to end up with? One. "The use of only one article with the two nouns makes possible the rendering of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. This restricts the grace to Christ, who is then designated as both God and Lord. This weighty designation of Jesus Christ as both God and Lord is in keeping with the profound eschatological picture just given. It is further in keeping with the well-known practice of the Christians from the latter part of the first century onward to call Jesus our great God and Savior. Although the interpretation which finds only a reference to Jesus Christ in the construction is quite possible and even probable, it is not generally accepted." So from a construction point of view, he says it's entirely possible to have two, God and Jesus Christ. But it is not generally acceptable. He said, listen again, construction is quite possible and even probable. It is not generally accepted. At any rate, the construction used marks the unity and equality of the Father and the Son if the double designation is adopted. For Paul, there was no great distinction between them." That's the greatest theologian, recognized theologian in the world today on Thessalonians. So immediately, I've got a problem. Tonight, one of the great verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and that, of course, is verse 10. "I taught you and showed you from the text in verse 7, will be at rest at the time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven." And I showed you that that "when" had to be translated "at." But over in verse 10, the "when" has to be "when." You see, the saints, the believers, will all be at rest at his appearing upon earth. Because in the gathering together, he does not appear upon the earth. He only comes toward it, and the dead in Christ, what? And we which are alive and remained are joined, what? Together with the Lord, where does it say? In the air. Not on the earth. Not on the earth. So shall we ever be with the Lord, remember? Okay. Then we are at rest. When he is revealed, he will already have come before to gather his people, and when he returns, he will come with his saints, and he will already have been glorified with his saints. So that brings us to this great 10th verse. And this verse is related to glorification of Christ, which has already occurred with his saints. And I'll read the King James first, and then we will work it minutely. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, and then the parenthesis, because our testimony among you was believed, and a parenthesis, in that day. First of all, when he shall have come. The have has to be added. You have two infinitive usages here. You see the word to be glorified and to be admired. The two infinitives denote purpose and result. Not only do you have two infinitives here, but you have a double statement: to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. A double statement. And the he indicates that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is central here. He is the subject we're dealing with. He shall have come to be, and then glorified. The word glorified here is a very unusual usage. It is the preposition en in front of the word glory. The word glory is D-O-X-A-Z-O-M-A-I, and it has an en in front of it. The preposition en means in, I-N, which literally here means to cause to be, to appear to be. He shall have come to cause to be or to appear to be glorified. In his saints, first of all, the word saints is holy ones. See, as far as God and the Word is concerned, we are at rest with Christ. We're never going through the tribulation, through that period of wrath it talks about in the book of Revelation. Because the Lord will already have gathered us unto him and will be at rest at his appearing when he is revealed. And he comes with those whom he's already been glorified in and with. He shall have come to appear or cause to have been glorified in his saints, in his holy ones. And by the way, that's what the word saints means. Every place it's used in the Bible, holy ones, that's its meaning. And they translate those two words into the one word saint. And is the connective conjunction. To be, the second infinitive I told you about, admired. Admired literally is to be marveled at. Not just, you know, looked at, but to be marveled at. Wonder would be a good thought. Great awe, great respect, great admiration. Marveled at. In all. Again, the word in here is the word en, E-N, Greek word. Not one is missed. The word all, not one is missed. In all them that have believed. The word believe is the verb form pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, which is a takeoff off of the Greek word pistis. And this word believe, when you work it, it's used in five different ways in the Bible, two as verbs, two as nouns, and one adjective usage. And it's very interesting here that it's used in the aorist tense, which makes it a one-time deal. Well, that agrees with having eternal life. It's a one-time. They once believed. Now he has gathered them. He has already come to appear glorified in his holy ones and to be marveled at in all, no one missed, them or those who have believed. One time believing. Because our testimony, the word testimony not only means of what you know about God's word, but a personal witnessing to it. I would like to translate it literally, because our personal witnessing, when they were there personally, they witnessed. That's how the people in Thessalonica were won. Now he's writing this epistle to them and saying to them, because our personal witnessing. Well, when you witness personally, you teach the word, right? That's why personal witnessing will include the preaching or the teaching or the expounding of the word. And that's exactly what brought these Thessalonians to the Lord. Because our personal witnessing among you was believed. The word among is beautifully used here in the text. It's the Greek word epi, E-P-I. And it's here in the accusative case, which literally means pressure downward. Here you have a circle, you know, a circle. Now you could have pressure downward in a perpendicular way, running perpendicular to the circumference of the circle. That'd be pressure downward. But any variation of that usage mathematically from that preposition would be pressure downward. As long as it's attached and tied to the circumference, you could put it at that angle, it'd still be pressure what? That's the usage of this word among. Because our personal witnessing was pressure downward upon you. It's very simple. Look at me. I teach Joan the word of God. It's personal witnessing among or to her, which would be, in that sense, pressure downward. A very, very beautiful usage. Not a compulsion, but a pressure of the word. Well, how do you get people saved? Lay the word on them, right? That's the Bible calls among. Really terrific among you. See, the pressure downward was given. Their personal witnessing was the pressure downward. Understand? That's how they believed. Among you was what? Believed. There's an interesting one in Romans. I think I'll just show you. Maybe you'll understand a little more of why I'm so concerned about the pressure downward. Romans 9. Hath not, verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The word unto is the word eis, E-I-S. It's not the word epi. But it also is in the accusative case. And I'm interested, for those of you concerned about construction and grammar, that you get your cases lined up. Because this here is real interesting, because it's so close together. This ace is unto. It's like this direction. Out, unto, in verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. The word on here is the word epi, the same that's used in Thessalonians, which means, and his glory on, pressure downward on the vessels of what? Mercy. In verse 21, it's reaching out, same lump, to make one vessel reach out unto honor and another to less honor. The riches of his glory, however, are pressure, epi, on the vessels of mercy. I think it's a very, very beautiful usage. Well, because our personal witnessing was believed among you in that day. That's verse 10. Verse 11. We now go to the prayer part. And again, this to me is very significant because anybody who is out personally witnessing will also pray for those people that he's witnessing to. It's just, you know, like a tail following a dog. It's there. If you're really personally witnessing and you love people and you're witnessing to them, what are you going to do for them? Pray. And that's why this prayer appears here also. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Whenever you read the word wherefore, you ask yourself why for. And you may check it. It's again the preposition eis, E-I-S. And this literally means with a view to which we pray also for you. That's the translation I'd like for you to put down. As you work Thessalonians 1 and 2, you will see that in the Word of God, Paul thanked God for the believers. And then when he was in contact with others, he would always boast about the believers. Two elements. And you and I should do the same. We thank God for the believers, and when we're with someone else, we're always boasting about the believers. We tell them how great the Way Corps is, how wonderful everybody is in the Way Corps. That's exactly what Paul did. It's God's word. If I'm going to pray for you, I'm not going to sit around and say a lot of bad things about you. Whenever somebody starts talking behind your back, or you talk behind anybody else's, I want to tell you, you're really not praying for them. Because if I really love you and pray for you, I'm not going to talk behind your back. I'm not going to go around and say bad things about you or nasty things, am I? If I pray for you, then if somebody else comes to me, I'm going to boast about you. I'm going to hold you up as God's best. That's exactly what Paul did in Thessalonians. How many of you have access or to that reprinted work of Bullinger's that we did on the word also? Good. You should really take at least your church epistles and line your alsos up correctly in there sometime. Shift them around if you haven't done it. Because the word also, its construction is very important and its usage. And that's why this should literally read, with a view to which we pray also. We pray also. Not we also pray, we pray also. Others were praying, but Paul, Silas, Timothy, the leaders have to pray. You not only pray for me, but I, as your teacher, have to pray for what? You. We pray also for you. The word pray has the preposition P-R-O-S in front of it, which is pros, and that's where you get the usage with the ace with a view to. Taught you this in the foundational class in one of the scriptures. First it says with a view, and then it says with a further view. The whole word for pray, if you want the Greek word, is P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-O-M-A-I. And really, kids, the only reason I ever give you any of this stuff is you can make notes. But a lot of you don't know much Greek, and that doesn't make any difference. You don't know any Greek. I still teach you the word, because I'll handle it from the English point of view, just give you the Greek, not because I want you to act so smart or anything, but that is the Greek word that's used, but you can still understand it just as easily in English. And the pros in front of it, the P-R-O-S, gets it to the place with a view to which we pray, also for you. And the word always means continually. Doesn't mean continuously. They didn't just sit all day long and pray for them, but sporadically, as it came up, as they would come to their heart and mind, they'd pray for them. Same as I'd pray for you. Same as you'd pray for me. You don't sit around all day and pray for me. But when you come to my mind, my heart, then we pray for one another. That's the word always. That is in order that our God, here's the source, God, not your God, not the God, but our God, because he is writing here to the believers, and he is a believer, therefore he says it has to be whose God? Our. Because the same thing that applies to any believer will apply to him because of the word all we had a little while ago. No one is missed. Nobody any better than anybody else. God has gathered all at the time of the gathering together. That our God would count you worthy. The word would is may. Could be used that way. May count you. And the word you is emphatic. To count worthy is the Greek word axio. Last O is long. Axio, which means to consider worthy or to think right. To think right, to think worthy. That our God may consider you worthy, think worthily of you, think right of you, of this calling. And the word this is the word your, of your calling. And the word calling, you know, is when God calls it, got born again. He does it by the teaching of the word, that witnessing we had a little while ago, holding the word out to people. That's this calling. Now the word and, connective again. Fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. The word fulfill is the word plerako. You've heard it before. P-L-E-R-O-O, long O, which means to fill to capacity. The word pleasure, good pleasure, is the word E-U-D-O-K-I-A, which means desire, being well pleased, or delight in a person or a thing. Think worthy of your calling and fill you to capacity all, every desire, being well pleased or delighted in what you have done. Of his goodness, the goodness is like inner sterling worth. It is not simply an external goodness, it's an inner quality, inner sterling worth. The Greek word is the word A-G-A-T-H-O-S-U-N-E, long O, long E. To fill to capacity every delight, good pleasure, well pleased of inner sterling worth and again, a connective, so you have the connective and preceding fulfill, and here you have it again. Just keeps tying it together like a polysyndeton, many ands used. And the work, and the word work has implied within it, because of its construction, the word all or every. You had every good pleasure in the previous phrase. Here you have every work of believing. And this complements the desire of goodness in the previous phrase. Grammatically, it's a complement to it. It's beautiful. Every work of believing. With, and that preposition is en, meaning including. And the word power is the word dynamis, which you understand as inherent power. And this word power is connected with the verb fulfill. Fulfill to capacity, good pleasure, work of believing, with inherent power, dynamis. And when we indicate the work of believing because of the inherent power, it's evidenced. People can see it. And that's how that sterling worth of an individual is manifest. Plerako, fulfill all the good pleasure or desire, delight in a person or thing, of his goodness, of his sterling worth, and all work of believing, including dynamis, the inward manifested outwardly because of the desire. In Philippians chapter 2, I think is a very wonderful verse that ties all this together maybe for you. 2:13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good what? Good pleasure. His good desire. God fills us to capacity, but his dynamis, his power is within us. And as we walk worthy, as we hold forth, he works within us to will and to do his good what. And when we do it, it comes in a concretion, in a manifestation. It's evidence. So you have in this latter part both the inward and the outward evidence of the greatness of this prayer. And then verse 12, which gives you the reason or the purpose for all this, that the name I guess his name really is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I taught you this previously, their meaning. A lot of the texts omit the word Christ. I don't know. It's immaterial to me. The one from which King James was made and some of the other texts have the word Christ in it, but the majority of them do not have it. The reason for all of this is that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, gives you eternal life. I said I really don't know, but if you asked me what I would think, I would like to keep it like it is in King James. I would let the word Christ in. And the reason for that is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, that the name of our Lord, our Master, the one to whom we salam, pay respect as our great leader, teacher, Lord, the humiliated one, Jesus, the Messianic Christ, that the name of our Lord, who was humiliated, who is also the Messianic one, to me it puts a bigger value on the greatness of it, may be glorified. Did I handle that word glorified earlier tonight or didn't I? Pardon? What verse was that? 10? There it is. Yeah. Shall have come to be glorified. Same word here. In a twofold way, look at this. Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. Isn't that beautiful? Christ glorified in you, and you glorified in him. According. And the word according is the word preposition kata, meaning horizontal motion. Jesus Christ glorified in you, and you in him on a horizontal level, according to, which is along with the action which proceeds by way of the grace. And people, that's the only way we ever got it, by grace. Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace, divine favor, unmerited divine favor, perpendicular of our God and connective the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can read plain English, I have two here instead of one. And that's where I started tonight, to show you that he pressures it to get it into one. I wouldn't pressure it. I'd just leave it set and have two, because then I do not have any problems with John 3:16 and about 65 others. Boy, what a day this is going to be in the gathering together. And then when he comes upon the earth, he will already have been glorified in his saints. And for the sole reason that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in us, we in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ made known God, he made known the grace of God, the peace of God. That's the only way you ever know about anything, about the grace of God, because Jesus Christ told you. The word tells you. And he made known that wonderful grace of God, and that we received all of this by grace. Boy, what a fantastic truth. And I believe that God is God in that verse, and the Lord Jesus Christ is his wonderful Son, our Lord and our Savior. And that closes that great first chapter, people, because in chapter 2, we do something about it now. See, you just casually even look at verse 11 and 12, you have to see grace all the way through. Even in the King James, without working it as minutely as I have with you, wherefore also we pray always for you that God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of believing with power. It's all grace. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our God is upon us because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God who so loved that he gave. That's grace. What did he give? Only begotten Son. And that only begotten Son is our Lord and our Savior. Well, it's really something, isn't it? I was going to do you a literal of all three according to usage and didn't get it done, so you make your own, okay? I've given you enough information that you can just dig it out and you can walk in all the greatness of that knowledge that's there. Well, again, I want to thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be with you and be a part of your life. I want to thank you for all your prayers, as we just read about, for your love. God bless. Thank you.